بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today we'll begin with Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And this is the surah straight after Surah Al-Mutaffifin. So Surah Al-Inshiqaq is a Meccan surah by consensus of the scholars of tafsir. There's no doubt about this surah being a Meccan surah. And it's a surah that belongs to a group of surah that are tied together because of their similar style and because of their similar theme. And the group of surah are, we already read, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, Surah Al-Takwir, that's one. The second one was إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. And now we read إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ. So all these three surah, they all have very similar beginnings in which they describe the events on the last day. And one thing we notice in this surah, Surah Al-Inshiqaq, that's different to the other surah, is that in the previous two surah, there was a call for human beings to accept the sense of justice and morality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for each and every single one of us. So for example, Surah Al-Takwir, it spoke about the injustice done to the baby girl, that the baby girl is buried. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. And Surah Al-Infitar, that was after it, it spoke about how Allah Azza wa Jal, He created each and every single one of us with a sense of balance and justice. الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. He gave us the balance and the justice. And then Surah Al-Mutaffifin, that came straight after, it spoke about how the human being, he goes against this balance and this justice that Allah created him with. So we find him cheating in business, and he cheats others, but he doesn't like for people to cheat him and his family in business. In other words, he went against justice. If he accepted justice, then the same way he accepts cheating others, he shall accept it for himself. But since that's not the case, this surah, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, it taught us about the injustice man created for himself, and that he went against the justice Allah Azza wa Jal created him with. And now this surah, Surah Al-Inshiqaq, it has a different theme. Has a different theme altogether. And that is this theme of inevitability. In other words, what that is, things that are bound to happen and things that are bound to occur, and you cannot avoid them, you cannot change them whatsoever. The conclusion of things, basically, that's inevitability. Things that are going to conclude. And so this surah will address the conclusion of things. And by the way, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ, this surah is the conclusion of all the إِذَا. This is the conclusion of them. So example, when you see the late afternoon, you know, and as the sun is setting, you can't do anything about it. The sky is going to go from blue, and eventually, gradually, it's going to turn into black. You cannot do anything about this. It's going to happen. It's going to go from one form to another, and from stage to stage. It's inevitable. And it's supposed to be this way. So that's the theme of this surah. And by the way, I gave this example because later on we'll speak about it in where Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ, the late afternoon. And we'll see how it's relevant to this topic. And this surah is divided into four parts. And each and every single one of these parts is going to be speaking about the conclusion of matters. So it's a very important surah to understand. And so just like this, or just like the day is supposed to end, and the night begins, and then the night ends, and the day begins, also this world is supposed to come to an end. And so it begins, this surah begins by addressing the events of the last day. Now the other thing that ties all these three surah, that ties all these surah together, Surah Al-Infitar, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, and Surah which is Al-Inshiqaq now, Surah Al-Infitar, and Al-Mutaffifin, and Al-Inshiqaq. What ties these three surah together? Know that in Surah Al-Takwir, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions a few crimes that the disbelievers will commit, and that they committed, whether it's physical crimes, whether it was verbal crimes. So the physical crimes, for example, were that they buried the baby girl alive. That's a physical crime. And then He spoke about the verbal crimes, when Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ, that your companion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not insane. In other words, their verbal crime was that they accused the messenger of being crazy and insane. And another verbal crime of theirs was that they said the Qur'an is the word of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the verbal crimes of their superstitious beliefs in the stars and their bad omens and so on. So Surah Al-Takwir spoke about the crimes. Surah Al-Infitar, it told us about the angels that record everything we say and everything we do, whether it be good or bad. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. So one with the crimes. The second one is about the angels that record everything we do. And then Surah Al-Mutaffifin, it told us about where the books are stored. Where are they kept? So one, إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ, and the other, إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ. Now, to begin with Surah, and then Surah Al-Inshiqaq, which is our study today, it's about how the books are given on the Day of Judgment, and how they come up, whether if they're in عِلِّيِّينَ or سِجِّينَ, how they come, and how they're given. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ, you know, taken by your right hand. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ, given behind his back with his left hand. We'll explain how that works. So this surah will concentrate, or part of it will concentrate, about how the books are given to each and every single person on the Day of Judgment. Now to begin with Surah Al-Inshiqaq, we have to connect this surah, the beginning of this surah, to the ending of the previous surah, which is Surah Al-Mutaffifin. We'll tie them together. And we found in the ending passages of Surah Al-Mutaffifin that Allah Azza wa Jal, He told us about the blessings that the believers will enjoy in the paradise. Right? Reclining on the couch, relaxing, the drinks, the rivers, and so on. There were the blessings that the believers enjoy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke about the punishments that the disbelievers will earn in the hellfire, whether it being them not seeing Allah Azza wa Jal, nor hearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being burnt in the fire, and then being made fun of by the believers from paradise. Now the question is, when does this all happen? When does this all become reality? When does the believer actually enjoy his blessings, and he enjoys this paradise? And when does the believer earn his punishment? That's the question. So what's the answer? The answer is at the beginning of Surah Al-Inshiqaq, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. When? Allah says, when the sky split apart. In other words, when Day of Judgment occurs. When the Day of Judgment happens, that's when the believers will enjoy their blessings, and that's when the disbelievers will earn their punishment. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. When the sky completely split and cracked open and completely ripped. Inshaqqat is a verb that's different to the other two verbs we explored in Surah Al-Takwir and Surah Al-Infitar. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ, we read in Surah Al-Takwir. And that was when the sky is peeled. You know, we said Al-Kashtu is to skin an animal. When you skin an animal, what shows? The blood, the flesh, the red color. And in Fatarat, we said is to rip along the length of something. You rip along the length of something. However, inshaqqat comes from the verb shaqqa, and it's a verb that's associated with ripping or tearing soft material, like a paper or a piece of cloth. In shaqqat, this verb is associated with soft things. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He uses this verb, and He uses it with big creation that splits and that tears apart. So for example, He says, in shaqqa al-qamar, wa shaqqa al-qamar, the moon split. And He used the verb that's used for soft things. And we know the moon is a big creation. It's something that's heavy. And He says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, right, the sky. The last thing you associate with انشَقَّتْ is the sama. And then He says, شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّةً, we tore open the earth. And then there's, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ, speaking about the boulder, the rock. And He uses this verb that's apparently in the Arabic language is used for soft material. So what does this imply? And what does this teach us? It is illustrating the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah azza wa jal, ripping the sky is as easy as one of us ripping a paper, and even easier than this. So He uses a verb that's associated with soft material, and He uses it for the bigger creation to illustrate His might and His power. And al-inshiqaq is the final stage of what happens to the sky. Now we read before, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا, the sky will become doors. In other words, meaning it will become the weakest of creation, because the door is the weakest link in a construction. And then we said, the السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ, when it's peeled. And we said, انْفَطَرَتْ, when it's torn along its length. But all these words, فُتِحَتْ and كُشِطَتْ and انْفَطَرَتْ, all these words, they are reversible in some way. You can reverse the process. A door's open, you can close it. You know, they're reversible. However, inshaqqat, al-inshiqaq, is a non-reversible process. It is the final stage. It's the point of no return. And so we said that this surah is about what? It's about the inevitable, the conclusion of things, the point of no return. So subhanAllah, the perfect word was used in the perfect surah, where the theme actually comes in contact with this word. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, He explains to us in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 25, how the sky will rip open. How does this inshiqaq happen? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا. Very powerful imagery in this ayah. The sky will be ripped open by clouds coming out of it. You know, you cut a paper with scissors, but the sky will be cut with the clouds. In other words, there are clouds that will rip the sky open. And in these clouds, there are angels. And these angels are carrying the books of the people. Whether it's the book of Al-Abrar, whether it's the book of Al-Fujjar. And the cloud descends until it reaches the land. And then the first angels, the first group of angels that come down from the first sky will circulate around human beings. Then the second sky will rip the same way. It'll rip through clouds. Clouds will rip up the sky. And this is the point of no return. That's it. There's no more sky. That's its conclusion. And then the second group of angels that are in the second sky will come down, will descend, and will make a circle around the first group, around the first circle, which are angels from the first sky, and up until the seventh sky. And this is the explanation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, muhdiqatun bil khalaiqi min waraihim, that the angels will circle the humans. And they're holding their books, they're holding their records. And then they call you one-on-one to the accounting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have your book. And then they give you the book, اقرأ كتابك. And this is going to come in the second part of this surah. So when it rips open, it'll have the color of red. You know, when the sky rips, its color will be like a red rose. فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. And we'll mention the importance of this later towards the end of the surah, again when Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the late afternoon. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. And we'll speak about the shafaq and how the late afternoon sort of gives us the color red in the sky, the red color. And we'll explain the importance of this inshaAllah ta'ala later. So now this ayah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, it has three things. It has three elements that implies certainty. This is going to happen, no doubt. Three things in this ayah. In this one ayah, there are three things. This is looking at the ayah from a linguistical aspect and a grammatical aspect. Three elements that we can just see certainty in this ayah. The first of is in the first word. The usage of the word إِذَا. What does إِذَا mean? When. As opposed to if, which in the Arabic language you'll say in. Had the ayah been إِنِ السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, there would have been doubt. But because Allah said إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, it translates to when the sky will be split. In other words, he used when, it's just a matter of when, it's a matter of time. So by the usage of the word إِذَا, there's certainty that the Day of Judgment is happening. It's not a matter of if the sky splits open, it's a matter of when. That's one. The second is the word inshaqqat. And this word inshaqqat is a verb, but it's in the past tense. And we know that when the sky splits, what's that? A past event or it's a future event? It's something that still hasn't happened. It is an event that happens in the future. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this event using the past tense, which implies certainty. Why? Because there is nothing more certain than the past. Allah spoke about a future event in the past, meaning that something that's already happened. And the past is something that's certain. You can't change the past, it's already happened. So by the word inshaqqat being in its past tense, again, this implies certainty. This is going to happen. It's just like the past. And the third of them is the placement of the noun before the verb. I'll explain this to you. You know, the Arabs, when they spoke, it was normal that you mention the verb before the noun. The verb before the noun. أَكَلَ الْوَلَدُ التُّفَّاحِ. أَكَلَ الْوَلَدُ التُّفَّاحِ. Right? The verb is first, then the noun. If you switch and reverse this sequence, there's abnormality in your speech. And if there's abnormality in your speech, it creates shock. And when it creates shock, it's only in the Arabic language that shocks implies certainty. Shock implies certainty. Let me give you this in English. You know, in English, we begin with the noun, not the verb. So you'll say, the boy ate the apple. You don't say, ate the boy the apple. So you'll begin with the noun. Now, if I began with the verb, ate the boy the apple, it creates shock to the listener. What's this guy? What is he talking? What English is this? It creates shock. So same thing in the Arabic language. If you were to begin with the noun, which is the case of the ayah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. Otherwise the Arab, he's used to either إِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ, the verb. But because the noun came first, it created shock, and shock implies certainty. Shock implies certainty. Just as you're shocked by the structure of the sentence, you'll also be shocked on that day when the sky will split open by the clouds. You see how Allah Azza wa Jal captures the event even just by the language. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very powerfully, he says in the next ayah, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. There's lots of lessons to be learned in this one ayah. I'm going to share with you one. But let's just explore the meaning of this ayah. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. أَذِنَتْ in the Arabic comes from two nouns. And both have two different meanings. You have the word أَذِنَ يَأْذَنُ إِذْنًا, and that means permission. The next one is أَذِنَ يَأْذَنُ أَذَنًا, and that means to listen carefully and to obey the one that you're listening to. And in this ayah, we're referring to the second meaning. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا, and the sky listened carefully to its Lord and it obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحُقَّتْ, and it is only rightful that it should do so. What other choice does it have? The only choice it has is to obey the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Fussilat about the obedience of the sky and the earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ. He, Allah Azza wa Jal, He rose to the sky and it was in the form of smoke. فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Then when Allah Azza wa Jal created the heavens and He created the earth, He commanded them, both of them, to come forward submissively, to come forward in submission to Allah Azza wa Jal's command, whether you come willingly or unwillingly, طوعًا أو كرها, whether you like it or not, come forward and listen to Allah's command. That's what Allah told the heaven and the sky. And of course, the sky and the earth responded saying, أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ, we come forward in submission and in complete obedience to you, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the lesson that's learned. The heavens and the earth are a big creation, huge creation. They're bigger than the creation of the human being. Allah says, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ, that the creation of the heavens and the earth is far greater than the creation of mankind. And despite the sky being a huge creation, it still obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And despite the sky and the earth having no responsibility, it's not responsible for any worship. There's no obligation upon the sky. And despite it won't be judged and asked on the day of judgment, it still obeys Allah Azza wa Jal's command and it comes willingly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience. Can you think of the human? Think of the human for a second. A weak creation, created min nutfatin. And the human, he took upon himself the responsibility of worship. This is what's known as al-amana. Inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal, fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. The human, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal, He displayed the amana, which is the responsibility of worship. He said to the sky and to the earth and to the mountains, here, take it. They don't want to take it. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا, they refused. Then it was displayed and it was given to Adam and he accepted and he took it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that the human being, he took upon himself the responsibility of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the human will be judged on the day of judgment for everything he says and everything he does, whether it's good or bad. And with all this, he still doesn't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Or he is lazy when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Can you think of this? The sky, it obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Willingly, no force. No one forced it. And it won't even be asked on the day of judgment. And it won't even be judged. And it obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the human, you and I, we're going to be judged. We should be rushing towards the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be rushing towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, is a contrast to what we learned in the previous surah, Surah Al-Mutaffifin. You know, human beings should be intentionally listening to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they listen to it, they must obey it. In the previous surah, what did we learn? وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. The rebellious human being, he crosses the line, mu'tad, he crosses the line. He's told to do this, and he doesn't do it. And he's told stay away from this, and he does it. And he is consistently engaged in sin, you know, athim. So we're being shown a contrast between Surah Al-Mutaffifin and Surah Al-Inshiqaq. Between the careless human being who disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal's command and engages in sin. And then Allah tells us about the sky and about the earth that are much more powerful of a creation than us, and they still obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willingly with no force. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And when the earth is stretched. مُدَّتْ comes from the word mad. And mad in the Arabic language is to stretch something across its length. Stretch something across its length. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَيْفَ مَدَّ الظِّلْ. Didn't you look to your Lord how He stretches the shadow? You know, when the sun goes down and the shadow stretches and it becomes longer and longer and longer. In that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us reflect on our own shadow and how it becomes longer and longer as time passes by quickly. But in this ayah, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the time when the earth will be stretched. And so we find the explanation of this ayah in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he says, إِنْ كَانَ إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَدَّ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ مَدَّ الْأَدِيمِ. When the day of judgment arrives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stretch the earth like you would stretch leather. That's al-adim, like you would stretch leather. حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ لِشِبْرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ لِبَشَرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ قَدَمِهِ. He stretches it until the point where there will be no place left for people except the place where they put their 2 feet. In other words, everything is gone and the world now has become tight. The only land you're given is just for your 2 feet to be placed on that land that Allah stretches, this earth that Allah stretches. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَكُونُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ يُدْعَى. I will be the first to be called. وَجِبْرِيلُ عَمْ يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَانِ. And Jibreel will be to the right of Ar-Rahman, to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهِ مَا رَآهُ قَبْلَهُ وَقَبْلَهَا. Meaning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel has never seen Allah before this. فَأَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ هَذَا أَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّكَ أَرْسَلْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, O Lord, he, Jibreel alayhi salam, he informed me that you sent him to me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sadaqa, he spoke the truth. Thumma ashfa'. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then I'll intercede. But going back to the ayah, this earth we live on right now is not stretched. It's not stretched. Rather, it's round. It has an oval and a spherical shape to it. And on this earth, there are mountains, there's valleys, there's oceans, there's grass, there's dirt, there's sand. In other words, it's not flat. It's not level. It's not equal, the earth. But on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He stretches it until it becomes like you stretch leather. It becomes level. The mountains and the valleys disappear. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. The mountains and the valleys have disappeared. The oceans are gone. No more sand, no more nothing. It's become flat land. Everyone can see each other and everyone can hear each other. You know, the only reason now When me and you are kilometers apart, we can't hear and see each other, is because the earth is not level. So you might be standing on a mountain, someone else down in the valley, perhaps he can't see you, he can't hear you. But on the Day of Judgment, the land becomes flat, and the hadith mentions that everyone will see each other because the land is flat. It doesn't sort of curve. There's no more, it's not unlevel, it's level. So you'll be able to see each other and hear each other. And the closest experience you can get to this is, for example, in the desert, when it's just almost equal and flat land. Go kilometers away, you can still see each other. Up until you get towards the rounding of the earth, then you won't be able to see each other. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives more detail. And He says, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. So the earth is stretched. And when it stretches, Allah says, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. Alqat comes from the word alqa, which means to cast, to throw something in front of everybody. You know, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, or said about Musa, فَأَلْقَى عَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ. Musa alayhi salam, he threw his staff in front of Fir'aun so everybody can see this. This is ilqa. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He says that the earth is going to do ilqa. It's going to spit things out. It's going to throw things out. So as the earth is being stretched, things will be popping out and being thrown in front of people. And what comes out of this earth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا فِيهَا وَأَلْقَتْ. What comes out? مَا فِيهَا. Whatever is in it. And Allah doesn't say, وَأَلْقَتْ الَّذِي فِيهَا. He says, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. What's the difference? The word الَّذِي is used to, it's specified, to refer to only one thing. But the word ma, when it's used in the Arabic language, it's used to speak about multiple things. In other words, just by reading ma fiha, Allah is telling us that the earth will spit out and things will pop out, many things will pop out. So the scholars say, what are these many things? The first thing they say, ma fi batniha min al amwat. It'll spit whatever is in its belly from the dead people. Dead people will come out. We read this in Surah Al-Infitar. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. You know, and we mentioned what bu'thirat is. You know, just for example, like you're late to your flight and you forgot your keys somewhere in the bag, the keys of your car. And so how are you going to look for the keys? You're not going to look bit by bit. You're going to open the bag and throw everything out. That's bu'thirat. And so the earth is just going to spit everything out. One of those things it spits out are dead people. And the other thing is, مَا فِي بَطْنِهَا مِنْ كُنُوزِهَا. The treasures of the earth, the treasures that people wanted, that also will be thrown out. And later on we'll explore this ayah when Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. So, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. I brought this paper so I can demonstrate it for you. So I can demonstrate in case you didn't understand. Say this is the earth. It's not the earth, it's a piece of paper. But say this was the earth. And I've done this shape for it, so you can sort of think of this is the valley, and this is the mountain, right? This is the valley. It's uneven, right? This is uneven. And so say these are dead bodies, right? They're not dead, but they're pens. And so you have this in the earth. Now what happens if I stretch out the paper? Huh? You want to try? What happens if I stretch it out? Be careful. If I stretch it, look what happens. Everything pops out. And look what happens to the paper. You see how it's flat? So subhanAllah, the way Allah Azza wa Jal tells us this, there's so much imagery in it. You can basically see the image. You do this to us. Do you do this for yourself, this experiment? You'll find, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. Things will be spat out. Things will pop out. And this is exactly, wallahu a'lam, how it happens, or something close to it. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He further describes what happens. He says, وَتَخَلَّتْ. And it, And it comes from the word khalwa. Takhallat comes from the word khalwa, which literally means solitude, being isolated, being isolated away from everything and everyone. And khala means to empty something out. Here we have the word takhallat, and this means to empty out entirely, to completely empty out. Nothing remains inside. And this verb, takhallat, is also used for the mother when she gives birth to her baby, because this is hard and a burden upon the mother, and she has to let go of this burden. And so she empties out entirely. And this verb is being used for the earth. It's as though Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that the earth, it's like it's pregnant with this load of graves of people, whether it's the Abrar or the Fujjar, and now they deserve what they're due for. So the time has come that it can finally let go. It's like a burden. وَتَخَلَّتْ. This is وَتَخَلَّتْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Even the earth, it listens intently and it complies with the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was as though it's been waiting for this moment. This was its destiny. The word أَذِنَتْ, it was used again. And I just want you to have a more clarifying meaning of this word. It doesn't just mean to listen or to obey. It's something more. It's like you're waiting for someone to give you instructions. And it's not just that you want to listen to them and do them because you're being forced to. Adhinat is you can't wait to follow those instructions. Out of love, you're willing to follow these instructions. You're in desire of obeying the command more than the master commanding. That's the intent and the love of obedience that the earth and the heavens show towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have more priority in this. We're supposed to have this more than the heavens and the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحُقَّتْ, and it's only rightful for it to do so. What other choice does the sky have and the earth have except that they worship and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now these two ayat, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, these two, they are statements, but they're the when part of the statement. Let me explain this to you. In English, you have conditional sentences. A conditional sentence has two parts, the when and the then part, right? So you say, when I go home, then I'll sleep. When, then I'll sleep. So you have the condition, then you have the result. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began this surah. He said, when the sky split, and when the earth is stretched and everything is thrown out, then what happens? In the previous two surah, Allah told us the then part. You know, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. We kept reading إِذَا up until we got to what? عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ and عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. And that was the then part. When all this happens, each and every person will know what he brought forward and left of deeds behind. But here in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, it's not mentioned. It's when, and then Ya Ayyuhal Insan. The topic just changes. Why does this happen? Because this surah, it expects you to fill in the blanks, just like I told you last week. It doesn't have to state everything. It doesn't have to mention everything. Our knowledge of the previous surah should give us the answer of this surah. We're reading the answer, we've read the answer before. So when you see the sky being ripped apart beyond repair, and when you see the earth flattened and stretched out and everything comes out, then what's the answer? You will remember what deed you had done in this temporary worldly life. It shares the same answer as the previous two surah. But Allah doesn't mention it here Because you already have knowledge. We already know this. We read that in before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't even have to say this anymore. Because we've heard it so many times, and now it's become natural that we understand this. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He moves to the next topic. And this ayah is the heart, is the center of the surah. I'll conclude with this ayah. Ya ayyuhal insan. This is the heart of the surah. We need to understand this ayah. This style, O human being, ya ayyuhal insan. The word insan, it comes from nasiya, to forget. So it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O forgetful human being, you forgot where you came from. You forgot your real journey in this life. You forgot your destination. And you forgot the purpose of life. The earth didn't forget its purpose. The earth. And the sky didn't forget its purpose. However, you insan, you forgot your purpose. And this has come now twice. Ya ayyuhal insan has come now both in these surah. The first one, Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. What deluded you concerning your Lord, the most generous? Here again, it comes again. Ya ayyuhal insan. And then Allah says, Al-insan, which is general. So this is talking to all people, young and old, strong and weak, black and white, tall or short, believer or non-believer, mu'min or kafir, all the people, ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun, innaka kadihun, no doubt, you are actively engaged in toiling labor and in hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said kadih. And in tafsir you'll find that kadih bima'na amil or sa'i, meaning you're going to work. But Allah doesn't say ya ayyuhal insanu innaka amil. He says kadih. So what's the difference between amil and kadih? Well, kadih, it implies three things. One of which, it means hardship and labor. Innaka kadihun, meaning no doubt you are actively engaged in toiling hardship and in toiling labor. The second thing that it implies is that this labor, kadihun, gives the word, it gives the idea that this hardship could either be in something good or in something bad. Whatever it is, whatever you do in this life, it is all hardship. Whether it's good, whether it's bad. The main thing, you're doing something. That's the hardship. And there is no such thing as I'm doing nothing. Everyone goes through hardship. And the third meaning, the third implication, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said kadih, which in Arabic this is known as ismu fa'il, and that is like an active verb, basically that implies that the hardship is continuous. Kadih, it implies that the hardship is continuous. No doubt about it. You're actively engaged in toiling labor in hardship, whether it's in good or whether it's in bad. All your life, our entire life is struggle for things. You know, think of it as though you're on a long road trip and you have a destination to get to. But you're not worried about the destination if you have a long road trip. What are you worried about? When am I going to get to the next petrol station? How am I going to get to the next bathroom? Where am I going to get to the next resting place? The next station and the next petrol station? You take it one by one. That's all your worry is up until you get to your destination. And so when you're a kid, you're thinking, man, when are my parents going to get me this toy? Or when are my parents going to give me this Xbox? Or when are the school holidays, you know? And as you're growing up, when am I going to finish school? And you grow up a little bit older, when am I going to get married? And when am I going to move to my house? When is the baby going to come? When does the work finish? When and when and when? That's all your life it is. It's just struggle and hardship after hardship. You have all these milestones, and each milestone you work really hard towards, right? So you work really hard towards your holidays. And you just get immersed in this work. And especially nowadays, you know, when people work, they have projects and they have due dates. They got to finish things in certain times. And what happens in their mind up until that due date, whether they're eating or sleeping or praying or driving, all they're thinking about is, oh, I've got to call this guy after the lesson. Or I need to finish this paperwork when I go back home. Or I've got to count the money. I've got to pay him. You know? And that's all this going. Innaka kadihun. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now, a wise man, he once met a king. And he asked him, how are you? He said to him, wallah, we're busy and we're struggling. So this wise man, he went to a scholar. And he asked him, kayfa asbaht? You know, how are you? How are you this morning? He said to him, Allah demands from us the obligations. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demands from us the voluntary acts. And the family demands from us that we spend on them. And the poor people are demanding from us money. And death awaits us. So this old man, this wise man, he went to a businessman in the marketplace. And he asked him, kayfa asbahtum? How's your morning today? He said, wallahi, we're in fear. If the prices go up, we fear unemployment. If the prices go down, we fear poverty. And so the wise man said, wallah, I never met anyone except he complained. No one was at rest. No one was relaxing. And who of us rests anyway? Who relaxes anyway? You know? And once Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Abdullah, Imam Ahmad radiyallahu anhu wa rahimahu, one day he wanted to sleep. So he laid down, and his son Abdullah radiyallahu anhu wa rahimahu, also a great scholar of this ummah, he came to him and he asked his father, he said, oh dear father, before you sleep I have a question. So his father said, sal ya bunay, ask, oh my dear son. So Abdullah, he asked his father, he says, oh dear father, mata yartahu al-mu'min, when does the believer finally relax? When does he find comfort? I haven't seen anyone that has rested. Neither the king, nor the ruler, nor the businessman, nor neither the scholar. I haven't seen anyone rest. So when does the believer rest? When does he find comfort? So his father got up from his laying position. And he said to him, you know when the believer rests? He said, no. He said to him, the believer rests, he says, when he places his right foot in the paradise, that's when he rests. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, memorize this. Memorize this. If you haven't benefited anything from the beginning of the lesson up until now, except this, it's enough. If you walk away with this and you reflect upon it, it's enough. The believer, this is the answer of Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Ahmad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The believer finds rest and comfort only when he places his right foot in the paradise. However, before this, before the foot in paradise, wallahi, it's all hardship and trial and tribulation and test and sickness and pain. You can't guarantee nothing, you know. You can't even guarantee your family will live tomorrow. And you can't even guarantee your money will be safe tomorrow. You can't even guarantee your health. You can't even guarantee your friends. You can't even guarantee your neighbor. This is the life of hardship. Everyone you meet complains of hardship and labor and stress and toil. Everyone you meet will have a story. And even Zamakhshari in his tafsir, Tafsir al-Kashaf, he says, "Kadhun innaka kadih." It's hardship that even the body becomes exhausted as a result. Even the body feels this kadh. Now, where does this hardship take you? What's the conclusion? Where are you going with your hardship and your labor? You know, remember we said this surah is about what? The inevitability. The conclusion of things. Things that are bound to happen. Things that come to end. So where are you going? Where are you going to end up? Where's this hardship? Where is it going to take you? Allah says, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, to your Lord. Whatever hardship, whatever your hardship, And whatever your life is about, whether it's all about counting money every day, whether it's all about partying all your life, whether it's about disobeying Allah, whether it's about obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever it is, whatever road you choose, it's all leading to one destination, ila rabbik, to your Lord, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, famulaqih. And then as a result, you'll meet him. And you'll stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and the judgment will begin. All your hardship and all your toil in this life is taking you to only one place, and that is, it's taking you towards Allah. And once you get there, you'll meet him. فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You'll meet him. So what happens when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's only two possible outcomes. Allah Azza wa Jal begins his judgment with you. Once the judgment is concluded, there's only two possible outcomes you leave this meeting with. Two possible outcomes. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the other one, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave this conversation for next week, because there's a bit more explanation to it. We'll explain how the book is given, and where, how is the book given in the right hand, and who is given in the right hand, and how he celebrates this event, and how he is joyful. Allah Azza wa Jal captures this in a few ayat. And then on the other hand, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. Allah speaks about a person, about the people that receive their book in their left hand. But he says here, behind his back. So how does this work, left hand behind the back? Also, inshallah ta'ala, we'll explain this next week. And before we conclude, is there any questions in relation to the lesson? Now.
You said adhina comes from two nouns.
Now.
Can you repeat them?
Adhina ya'dhanu idhnan. Idhnan, meaning to seek permission, permission. And adhan. Adhanan. Adhanan, which is to listen. You know. وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُن. When they say about the messenger, he's udhun, meaning he listens to everything. That's how the hypocrites, that's how they describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ هُوَ أُذُن. You know, وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُن. They described him, they mocked him, and they said, oh, he listens to everything. But then Allah Azza wa Jal, he responded back, and he defended his messenger. He said, قُلْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. He listens to the good ones among you. He listens to what benefits him. يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. You know, that's the difference. So the two meanings is one, permission, and the other one is to listen attentively and to obey the one you listen to. Now. ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها. This is Allah Azza wa Jal explaining that he rose to the heavens and they were in a smoke form. Before he created it, it was a smoke first. That's how this heavens was. It was smoke. Then it became a solid construction. When it became a solid construction, he asked the heavens and he asked the earth, ائتيا طوعا أو كرها. Come forward in submission to my command. You know, whether you like it or not, come forward. And so they responded and they said, we come forward in submission. That's the ayah. The other ayah, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the end of Surah Al-Ahzab that he presented the amana. And the amana here, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, الْأَمَانَةُ هِيَ الطَّاعَةُ. The amana is the responsibility of worship. So Allah says he presented the responsibility of worship to the skies, to the earth, and to the mountains. He presented it. Here, take the responsibility of worship. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا. They did not take it. Now, it doesn't mean they refused it in sense that there's been like they disobeyed Allah's command. No, عَرَضْنَا. We presented it. Would you like to take it? عرضنا. Huh? Not أن الله عز وجل said take it and they refused. He عرضنا. So عرضنا means he presented. So when Allah says that the heavens and the earth and the mountains refused and did not take the offer, it doesn't mean that they disobeyed Allah. It's just an offer. You know, just like you and I. Offers come to us every day. People knocking the doors every day doesn't necessarily mean I have to take what he offers. So Allah offered it. Take it. No. Then Allah offered it to Adam alayhi salam. Adam, would you like to take al-amana? Didn't force it upon him. And Adam alayhi salam took it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. The human took it. He took the responsibility of worship. That's why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The obligations. We pray 5 times a day and we fast Ramadan and we give zakat. Because we took this responsibility. You know? إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he concludes this ayah. He's saying that the insan, he is ظَلُوم. جَهُول. You know? He's ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always oppressing himself. Now, any other question? Fadda.
إِنَّكَ
كَادِحٌ
and then إِلَى رَبِّكَ and then كَدْحًا
نعم كَدْحًا okay good كَدْحًا basically is a verb in the Arabic language where they refer to it as مَفْعُول مُطْلَق. مَفْعُول مُطْلَق basically is a verb that emphasizes a verb, you know. So for example, I say مَزَّقْتُهُ تَمْزِيقًا, meaning I really really ripped it, you know. Or I say كَتَبْتُهُ كِتَابًا, I really really wrote it, you know. Or مَشِيْتُ مَشْيًا, I really, really walked. So, كَادِحٌ كَدْحًا, you're really, really going to struggle. So that next كَدْحًا that comes, it's just emphasizing the first verb. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us students of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَرَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.